Would you turn with me to 1 John, the second chapter? And as you do, I want to ask you, any of you ever heard of a music group called the Beatles? You know, I think we've got a clip there. Can we play that one real quick? Is it? It may or may not go. All right. Well, we had a clip prepared, and I'm just going to sing it to you. Okay, because of the distress I heard throughout the congregation, I won't sing it to you. How about I remind you of a song? You remember a Beatles song that was called All You Need Is Love? Na, 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 na. Ah, y'all do know that one. Okay, good, good. You know, there is, we talked about a little bit earlier, a lot of theology in music, even in secular music, most of it wrong. You know, it really is, unfortunately. And this Beatles song that we was supposed to play, but it says, all you need is love. And it repeats itself. All you need is love. You know, even though their theology was off, even they had a thought, even they had an inkling to understand that everybody needs love. Amen? Everybody does need love. Now, you remember this one. It's going to tell your age, but that's okay. Anybody remember Tina Turner? You remember her song? What's love got to do with it? Okay, how many of you know that song, and how many of you think I'm nuts? All right. Oh, same hands, okay. It's all right. It's okay. You know, I'm going to tell you, I think John, as we read his letters, I think John knew that love had everything to do with it, right? You know, what's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything to do with it. In the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about walking in the light of Christ Jesus. Amen? We've been talking about abiding. You remember that word? Remaining, living, soaking up the presence and the light of the Lord our God. And if we walk in the light, remember we've been talking about this, we desire, we have a heart want to walk in God's commands. Now John, in the passage we're about to read, gives us a very specific example of it. We are to love one another as the people of God. Now I want you to do this. Don't say anything, but just look around at some of the people. Look to the person to your left and right. Don't say anything. You got their face firmly in your mind? You're to love that person. Now look behind you. Maybe it's somebody you don't even know. Look behind you on the back row. Don't look behind you. Come on. You see that person? You're to love that person too. God says that we are to love the family of God. Now that's not always easy. Can I get an amen on that one? You remember that little ditty I shared with you sometime back? It goes like this. You know, when we're reminded, you know, that we're supposed to love the family of God. It went like this. It says, to live above with those we love. Oh, that will be glory. But to live below that these we know, that's a different story. It can be. Amen? Listen, we can confess that love is not easy. Let's read our text. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? 1 John chapter 2, we are picking up where we left off, right there at verse 7. John writes and he says, brethren, so he's writing to the church. Remember, this is a family letter, a family epistle. He says, brethren, I write no new command to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, then he says, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now that makes sense when you just read it in a natural perspective, but how much more we need it from the spiritual perspective of walking in darkness. Folks, God's word read to you this morning, receive and hear, and let's do more. Let's apply. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. We do pray your blessing on your word as it hits not just our ears, but our hearts, and then is followed, Lord. That's our need. So we pray for your strength and your help to do just that, to obey this old and new command to love one another. In Jesus' name, we pray for your help. Amen. Would you be seated? First, we have right there in verse 7 a commandment, and it is implicit to love. Now, look at that verse again. Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. So, we've got this word from John, this commandment to love that he mentions there throughout this passage. Now, every preacher has a pet theme. Now, I could go around and ask you, what's my pet theme? Many of you would come up with some different things, but they would be very similar about pet themes. But John had a pet theme as well. And John's pet theme, if you will, was love. He's always preaching about love. Now, we had read even with the Advent reading this morning from John, 1 John chapter 4, the love letter. He's talking about love, love. God is love. So this is his theme. This is a recurring idea from John. Now, remember what we called John, or not what we called him, we didn't know him then, but remember what the people called John before he came to know Christ, before he joined up with the Lord and became a disciple. Do you remember what he was called? Anybody? Son of Thunder. Now, there's a name for you. Obviously, this guy had a temper. This guy had a temperament that was loud and bold and boisterous. And now, this man that once was called the Son of Thunder has now become to be called the Apostle of Love. A lot of us might be children of thunder, but folks, when we abide in the light of God, we should become apostles of love. Amen? You need to become an apostle of love. Now, Jerome, who was an early writer in the New Testament times, he translated the Old Testament and the New Testament into Latin. That's where you probably know that name, Jerome. But he wrote this. He recorded in some of his writings that John, in his old age, he was living at Ephesus. You remember he was the pastor at Ephesus when he came back off the island for a short time. But he became the pastor emeritus because he was physically unable to do much. But in his old age, and he wasn't able to preach anymore, they would bring him out in a chair. And they would put him in a chair because he couldn't walk. They'd pick him up and they'd bring him out to the public. And you know, he would say over and over again, he would tell him, he said, my little children, you remember my little born again ones? My little children, love one another. Love one another. And time and again he would say, love one another. My little children, love one another. And if somebody asked him, Jerome recorded it, he said that somebody would ask him, John, why do you keep telling us that? Why do you keep telling us that we need to love one another? And he would say this, because it's the Lord's commandment. Because it's the Lord's commandment. And if you do this, if you love one another, it's everything. So, little children, love one another. It's God's command. It's everything. Love one another. You know what John is saying here? He's saying, look, you've heard me preach this. You've heard me preach this time and time again. What did he say? I write no new commandment to you. This is an old command that you love one another. This is not a new message from John. He's been saying it not just for years, but for decades. Love one another. Love one another. It's a commandment. Love one another. Now, John knew that many of his converts were Jews who knew the Old Testament very well. So it could be that he's also alluding to them, not only that it's an old commandment that, that I've been telling you, but it's also an old commandment that you got right out of your Old Testament. So many of these Jews knew their Old Testament, and they knew that the book of Leviticus, right in the middle of it, in chapter what we call chapter 19, they didn't have chapters then, but right in the middle of it in what we call chapter 19, it was recorded in their word what we call the golden rule. Anybody know what the golden rule is? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Do you know that came right out of the Bible? And it said, love one another as you would have them to love you. That's where it started. Love one another. Not just do, but love and do. Love one another as you would have them to love you. And we find that that golden rule is right there written in Leviticus to love our neighbor as ourselves. Verse 18, as a matter of fact. Now, this is not new. The Old Testament's been around a long time, and that's what he's saying. This is not a new commandment. It's an old command to love one another. And then he turns right around there in that next verse, in verse 8, and he says, we've got an example of love, and it's new. It's a new commandment. So I want you to look at this. He said in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him, capital H, in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Who is the true light? The Lord Jesus Christ. In him, this light is brought and this love is brought. So now he says, this new command I bring to you. It's not just God's command of old, dear people. It is God's command for today. It is God's command for you. It's God's command for me. We can't say, oh, that's the Old Testament. We never could just say, anyway, no matter what your theology may or may not be, you can't say, well, the Old Testament isn't for us. Folks, God's Word is for us. All of God's Word, from the beginning to the end, God's Word is for us, and we can't miss those important lessons and promises from the Old Testament. So now he says it's not just an old command, it's a new command. It is his command for today. And this command Jesus gave to his disciples when they walked with him on this earth. John chapter 13, you may recall. John chapter 13, John chapter 14. Do you remember what led to Jesus giving these disciples this particular command in John chapter 13? Do you remember when he came to them and he said, you need to be loving one another? Jesus took the disciples aside into the upper room. It was before the Passover, and he was about to have the Passover dinner with them, and we began to call it then the Last Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, which we're going to be taking together next Sunday morning, by the way. Come prepared. It's going to be a special time of the Lord's Supper. But this is what Jesus had instituted that night. And when Jesus took them up to that upper room, Jesus told them, he said, you need to love each other as I've loved you. But what did he do before he told them this? He removed his outer garments, his robe. He wrapped himself in a towel, and the Lord Jesus, God's Son, God Almighty in the flesh, got on his hands and his knees, and he cleaned the dirty, muddy, nasty feet of his people. Folks, if that doesn't humble your heart, what will? Jesus became a lowly servant and washed their feet. And then he told them, it's recorded in verse 34, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And he didn't just say, love one another and stop there. He says, as I have loved you, so you need to love one another. You remember that next verse? He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. John says, in the next part of that verse, he says, the darkness is passing. And he says, the true light is shining. And it's true, dear friends. God's word and God's light is in this world. But I'm going to tell you, the darkness has not passed yet. Amen? The darkness is still all over this place. Unfortunately, there is much ignorance of God's word and much ignorance of God's spirit and God's presence. But even with that ignorance and even with the darkness finding the light, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Lord, our Savior, who is the true light, is breaking on this world. Amen? That's why there's still hope in Israel. That's why there's still hope in America. That's why there's still hope in Texas. That's why there's still hope in Montgomery County. Friends, because the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true light, is still breaking on this world. He is still in this world. And those people who are abiding with him, those people who know him, those people who are living with him, are living in that light. And their darkness is passing away. Are you with me? God's word says, when the light is here, he illuminates your life and the darkness in you. Man, it's going out. It's being pushed out. You know, that's the only thing that can get rid of darkness is light. You don't have to do anything to the darkness yourself. Just turn the light on. Amen. A lot of booger bears get run off when the light gets turned on. Amen. I hated the closet open when I was a child. When I was little, and, you know, here my mom and dad right in the next room. But if that closet door was open just this much, I thought, man, it's dark in there, and I can't see what's in there. And I would call out, Daddy. He'd come in there, what's the matter? Would you shut my closet door? There's nothing in there. Would you shut it anyway? Dear friends, the light of God will shine away the darkness and all the things that disturb our hearts if we will abide with him. John loves that word, abide. Oh, man, you go back and look in chapter 13, 14 of John, and it's used multiple times. He uses it, that word abide, which means remain, and so much more. It means remain. It means to live with. It means to fellowship. It means to commune. It means to be wrapped up in Christ. Abide. Live in him. And he uses it 25 times just in these letters, these three little letters. But he uses it 40 times in the gospel. Abide. Abide. Why? Because it is so important for us to stay in Christ, to stay in Jesus. In John chapter 8, John recorded it that Jesus Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I am a light. He said, I am the light of the world. And without him, there is no light and there's only darkness. Folks, if we want to be illuminated spiritually from God himself, it's going to come only through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the light. So friend, Jesus' light is shining. It's shining on you. It's shining in you. It's shining around you. And friend, if you will abide with Christ, this is what he's saying. If you will abide with Christ, you cannot be in the darkness. You might see some closets open in your life. But just call on the Father. He's going to shed some light on it. And you're going to see there's no reason to worry. Amen? We need to abide, live, remain, stay in Christ Jesus. And one of the wonderful products of abiding with Jesus Christ is that you want to be like him. You want to emulate the Lord. And so that darkness passes from us. Quit embracing the darkness. Embrace the Lord and let him keep pushing the darkness out of us. Amen? So the scripture tells us that the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your light. His brightness, Jesus' brightness, his light shines brighter in us as we abide with him. And I think this is the point in your bulletin there. If you abide in Christ, if you stay in Christ, his light is shining in you. You won't have a choice. If you're living in him, his light will shine in you and through you. The third thing that John talks about here in these short little verses, he shares some very specific things about love. Look at verse 9. Follow along with me. John says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Boy, there is so much here for us today. There's no way in the world I can cover all of this today. I'm going to cover a brief point about it, and I pray that it will point you in the right direction. We'll come back to another time. God's word tells us straight out. There is no beating around the bush, so to speak. If you hate your brother, you're living in darkness. If you hate your brother, you are rejecting the light of God. Now, notice this. I want you to understand this real quick. This scripture does not say that you have to like everybody. Anybody want to say amen? Don't look at me when you say that. But isn't it true? You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to love their actions. But folks, God's word says that if you hate them, there's a problem in your heart. Light and hate do not mix. I've been there, where my heart was tainted with anger. And I felt a hatred, and God worked on my heart until I would turn it loose. How do we prevent that? How do we prevent that kind of hate, that kind of anger from building up in our life? Even when a brother or sister has done us wrong, and we feel that we are within our rights to hold on to these things, and we're not, by the way. God's word makes that pretty clear. But how do we prevent that hatred and that anger from building up? You know how? John has said it 25 times in this letter, 40 times in his gospel, and that is to what? Abide in Christ. Because if you stay in him, his light is going to push out the darkness, and hatred is darkness. The hate is darkness. Now, sometimes it's okay to have a righteous anger when that anger will come out and make you do something about the wrong that's going on around you. But we're not supposed to have an anger towards an individual to the point of hate. And God says, especially with your brother, we can hate the sin, but we're to love the sinner, right? Verse 10 and verse 11 remind us, when we overcome the desire to hate, we are truly walking in the light of God. There is nothing, very little, if any more, that will show the world that we are truly walking with God by overcoming our hatred and to love. Our actions, according to this scripture, will not cause our brother to stumble. In other words, what does that mean? And it says there is no cause for stumbling in him. What does that mean? It means that nothing in your life will have a brother look at you, a sister to look at you and say, "Oh, I see what they're doing. Fine, I guess it's okay for me to do that too." Or your wrongdoing leads them to consider wrongdoing as well. But the scripture says that when we do it right and we're walking in the light of God, our actions will not cause our brothers and sisters to stumble or to fall into sin because we are handling it right. When John says, love one another, listen to me. When John says to love one another, he is not saying that love will suppress all of your negative emotions. He's not saying that you're not going to get upset, that you're not going to be unhappy. As a matter of fact, there's something wrong with you if you see somebody being being done wrong and it doesn't bother you. Amen. Love will not suppress all of our emotions, nor will love suppress every one of our disagreements. Guys, were you told to change this morning? We've been talking about this for 3 weeks. You might have a disagreement, but you know what? You can disagree and still love. Amen? My wife made me change my ties this morning. I had a Christmas one that I was really kind of wanting to wear, but I still love her. She said this one goes better with this coat, okay? So I trust her. Several people have said, hey, I like your tie. I'm going, yeah, I picked it out. Right after my wife told me that's the one that I was going to pick out. And even in things that are so much more serious than that, folks, we can disagree, and we will disagree, but we are still to love, and we are still to act in a manner that will not cause our brothers to stumble. Paul is saying that part of loving one another is not just giving up and not just having no emotion. He's also saying that you won't ever get angry, but be careful about your anger. Amen? Be careful. Bible says that when you're angry, be careful because sin can be waiting at the door. It says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. There are things you're supposed to be taking care of. Nor does God's word say that when we love that we won't have to learn to get along with people who are difficult. I guess I wouldn't have any friends at all if that was the case. I can be difficult. Please no amens. Thank you. Bless your heart for your restraint. That shows you're walking in light. Okay. God's word reminds us, folks, that we are to try to get along and do the best we can. And he's saying here that loving one another is taking care of your problems in a loving and biblical manner. A loving and biblical manner. Matthew chapter 18 tells us how we're to take care of things. Whenever we know somebody has a problem with us, we're to go to them and get it handled. And if it can't be handled one-on-one, you take a couple of friends and go with you. And if that doesn't work, you take more with you. But you do it in a biblical manner, in love and in care, with the hopes and the prayers that things are going to be taken care of. This is a part of what verse 10 means when it says there's no cause of stumbling in him. We don't want to cause our brothers and sisters to stumble. And there are so many facets to this. Listen, so many things that I could do 2 or 3 dozen sermons just on this one topic. But today I want to cover something that is so harmful to the engine of the church. It's like putting sugar in a gas tank. And if you didn't know, that'll stop an engine real quick. And if you didn't know that, well, this will stop the engine of the church real quick as well. Number 3, be careful of your criticism. Be careful of your criticism to one another. Be careful of your criticism of God's church. Look, nobody's perfect, amen? I think we can agree on that. Why do we expect perfection from everybody else except from us? Be careful not to criticize one another. And that includes your ministers as well. And no, it's not okay to criticize them if you add, you know, bless their hearts afterwards. That doesn't count. We've heard that for a long time. It's okay if you criticize somebody as long as you add bless their heart. You know what? If you want to bless their heart, walk in the light. Don't walk in the darkness and don't let your tongue speak in the darkness either. If something goes wrong, let me ask you a question. If something goes wrong in your family, if something goes wrong in your church, if something goes wrong in your business and it doesn't go to your liking, do you criticize and blame others for the problems? Do you do it, whether it's in your family or whether it's behind their backs at the office or behind, you know, at the church? If you do that, dear friends, the scripture tells us that this kind of behavior is from the pit of darkness. That's not a fun fact, but it's a fact. It's right from Satan. Here we go. Let's just bring it home to church, since this is where we are. Parents and grandparents, do you want your children to grow up going to church? Yes or no? Do you want them to want to go to church? Well, then I tell you what, if that's the case, if you want your children for years and generations to come to want to go to church, do not have the pastor for lunch. No, I didn't say don't invite him to lunch. Please do. Don't have him for lunch, is what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying now? Don't pick apart his tie. You'll hurt the feelings of his wife. There are a lot of things about your pastor that are easy to pick apart because I'm human. There are things about all of our staff, we're all human. But I'm going to guarantee you this, because God has loved us first, we love you too. And we may not be perfect, but we do love you. And we serve with hearts of gladness to you and for you. Now you may say, Pastor, has somebody been criticizing you? Not that I know of. This is preventative medicine. What is this? Is an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, right? Okay. I don't know what goes on in your home. Have the pastor to lunch, but not for lunch. Okay, there we go. How you speak of your church, of your Sunday school teacher, of your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you get home, will influence your children for decades. It will also teach them how to speak of your church. I think it's very true that your children will have the same thing for Sunday dinner that you have. Do you realize that God's Word says that we, I wish right now that I could point at everybody, each one of you, just call you by name. Did you know that God's Word says that we are one body? One body. Do you realize that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 and following, that the Lord Jesus said that no one ever hurts his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. And it even says there, it says, a man that loves his wife loves his own self. And the church that loves one another loves its own self. Do you honor and cherish your body by honoring and cherishing all the bodies? That's what God's Word is telling us here. He's saying, listen, don't let the darkness get a hold of your tongue. And as you can see, there would be a lot of sermons that we could preach here, but let's move forward here. What he's saying is this. No one attacks and hurts his own flesh, but nourishes it. But that's what happens when we attack the church. And to attack the church with your tongue, or to attack another member with your tongue, that is attacking the head of the church. And that's not your pastor. Who's the head of our church? The Lord Jesus Christ. John's saying that if you're living like that, there's something desperately wrong with your heart. And you are living in darkness, he says. When you are not loving, but hating and sharing wrongful things with your speech, he says, there's something wrong with your heart. I'm going to tell you, folks that are like that are miserable people. People that all they do is fuss and complain. And you know what else? They're miserable to be with too. Amen? They're lonely people. They don't draw people to themselves. Because the darkness has blinded their eyes, the scripture says. Don't be that person. Don't be those people. Learn to live in God's light. And if you've got a complaint, there's one place where we're supposed to take it, to the complaint department, to the Lord God himself. And we pray for them, not at them. Amen? Pray for them. Look into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen? Anybody remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Anybody? Love is what? Pop quiz. Don't open. Don't be cheating. Don't be looking. Love is what? Patient. Love is kind. Love is? Yes. I've heard several. Good job. We need to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to remind us what love is. Be careful of your criticism. Now that I've done that, I really got to get in your business because it's right here in the Word. John says, do you know how serious this is if you're not walking in the light? If you're walking in the darkness and you're speaking into the darkness, he says, do you know how serious this is? He's saying, if you don't love your brother, if you don't love your sister, if you're hating them, you are in darkness. You want me to tell you what I think that's saying? I think that's saying you're lost. And if you're not lost, you're living so close to being lost, you're in danger of being taken home early. If you don't love your brother and sister, he says, you're in darkness. And I can't escape that. There it is. I don't think that's here, but I pray that it's not. But dear friends, the scripture says here, John's talking about it in the church of Ephesus. It could be here in a relationship that has gone sour in your life. And you are not able to forgive and you are holding out forgiveness and you're speaking hatred into that person. Let me tell you from personal experience, when I was hurt badly years ago, I can tell you it messes with your entire spirit. And it puts a cloud over the light of Christ in your life. It eats away. It is a cancer at your joy of your daily happiness in Christ. If that's you in any form, do you see what John is saying here? John is speaking to you. He's speaking to us and he says, the problem is not that person. The problem is you. The problem is me. He said, if this is your heart, you're the problem. You're the one who needs to change. You're the one who needs to take care of it. Your unwillingness to be reconciled, your unwillingness to be forgiven, or your unwillingness to forgive, or your unwillingness to say, I'm sorry, is the cause of all the problem. We were here for a little children's event last week. It was so much fun. We had a Thanksgiving dinner for all the parents and the children. Anybody here for that one? We have a number of our folks there. Well, I'm going to tell you, as we were walking through and taking our trash, I went by one of the trash cans that did not get taken out last week. It reeked. I'm telling you, when I went by there, it was one of those... I mean, can you relate? Something got left in there, and it was so bad, it made me gag. Right in the middle of all this sweet little fellowship with all the little children and all the mamas and daddies that were really enjoying it, you'd walk by that trash can and go, oh. Is that how your spirit is in God's house? Folks, I think that there is a need to take the spiritual trash out. If that's you, the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ, and he is a sweet fragrance, does not hang about you. And the fact is that you do need to take your spiritual trash out and let God take care of the cleansing. God's word says, right here, he says, you are in darkness, terrible darkness, if you will not leave the hate, if you will not let God help you with the love. God's word says, look to Jesus. You want to get it cured? Listen, we all can struggle there if we're not careful. We all can struggle there. But God's word says that we need to look to Jesus, look to God's Son. With all of our sin, with all of our ugliness, with all of our sinfulness, Jesus Christ loved us to death. His death. In spite of my sin. Let's love like that. Amen? I would like to have an altar call and just say, everybody who will love like that, come down. Well, let me just ask you this. Would you make a decision in your heart right now and say, God, I want to love like that. God, I want that to be me. I want to walk in your light. I want to walk in your love. God, I want to abide in Jesus so much that I don't dwell on the dark. I want to walk like you walked. Would you pray with me? Lord, would you help us to make that our prayer? God, I want a heart like yours. Amen? Can you pray that? God, I want a heart like yours. I want to love like you love. God, I want to serve like you served. God, I want the fragrance of my life to be pleasing to you. Amen? God, I want, say this, pray this prayer. God, I want the fragrance of my life to be pleasing to the church. I don't want people to come around me and gag. God, I want people to come around me and be drawn to you because of me. God, help me to love. And Lord, where I struggle with the hate in my life, forgive me. Can you pray that prayer? God, forgive me. And help me, Lord, to stay in your light, to abide with you so that I can get rid of the spiritual garbage and let the light purify. Dear friends, if there is something in your life that needs to be taken care of and you're still struggling with it, you've yet to be able to pray and give it up to God, how about right now? Right now. Would you pray and just say, God, forgive me? And you may even have trouble saying the name of the individual out loud, but how about right now you say, God, I forgive, and call him by name. And if you're struggling with that, ask God for help. Say, God, I need to say the words, and then God, help me to truly mean it. Amen? God, I forgive. Who is it? And God, forgive me for holding on to that darkness. I don't want to live in the darkness. I don't want my tongue to be used in darkness. Perhaps God has laid on your heart a altar, because your heart is an altar before God. And if you want to talk to the Lord, you can do it right where you are. Is there anything in your heart that you need to turn loose to God? Do it right now. Maybe there's a decision that you need to make and you'd like to come to the altar to pray. We can have folks that will come pray with you if you'd like. Or maybe God's leading you a decision that has absolutely nothing to do with what I preached this morning, but you just say, you know what, I want to walk in the light, and God is leading me to what? You be obedient to whatever it is God calls you to.